You'll take your Bibles, stand with me
if you're able, and turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Very well-known scriptures, verses 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy chapter 3. The Bible says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are so very thankful for this opportunity. And Father, I thank you that your word tells us that all Scripture, not just some, but all Scripture is given for us. And we thank you for that. Father, I pray as we look into your word this morning that you would give me the very words to preach this morning, that you would be lifted up and glorified, that you would get all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise that's due your name. I pray that you just give me boldness to proclaim your word, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. During Super Bowl 37, just a few years back, FedEx ran a commercial. I thought it was kind of interesting. They had a spoof on the movie Castaway. And during that deal, they had this FedEx worker whose company plane went down, stranding him on a deserted island for years. And looking like the bedraggled Hanks in the movie, the FedEx employee in the commercial goes up to a door of a suburban home with this package in hand. And when the lady comes to the door, he explains that he survived 5 years in this deserted island and that during the whole time he kept this package and brought it so he could deliver it to her, and she gives him a simple thank you. And he's curious. He says, but wait a minute. I've been protecting this package. What's in it, if you don't mind my asking? And she opens it and shows him the content, saying, oh, nothing really. Just a satellite telephone, a GPS, a compass, a water purifier, and some seeds. I'm going to tell you, like the contents in this package, the Bible's sources, resources here for growth and strength are available to every Christian. All we have to do is take advantage of them. All we have to do is open it and take advantage of it, right? Can you imagine what it would have been like 5 years earlier had he opened that box? Can you imagine what your life would have been like before if you just opened up the Bible and gotten in it and let it get in you? I'll say a Bible in hand is worth more than two on the bookshelf. We all have probably more than one Bible. I'd be surprised if anybody has one. Most people have multiple copies. Any of them have dust on them? They get dust because they don't get opened. You know, when you get dust on the Bible and you open it, it knocks it off. Kind of an interesting, it's how you know if somebody's been in their Bible. You ask them if they have one and go get it, and they bring it out to you and it's got 4 inches of dust on it. You go, yeah, they haven't been in that for a while, right? But we need to open it. We need to be in it. We need to be reading it. We need to be studying it, meditating upon it and all. Some people drive around with salt in the trunk of their car in the wintertime, just in case you need it, right? But it won't do you any good if you don't get it out of the trunk and apply it, right? We need to get the Word of God out of the book and apply it. We can get more out of the Bible when we let more of it get into us. We got to spend some time in it. We got to meditate on it. If all the Bible that you get each week is from my preaching, you're starving. You're starving. We've got to be getting more Bible than just what the preacher preaches each week. It doesn't work. I mean, can you imagine if all the Bible I got was what I preached each week? I'd have to preach the same message over and over and over, right? Because that's all I'd have. If that's all I ever got. We got to get more than just what's preached each week. I tell you, you need to get in the Bible and you need to look for one thing. And if you start with the idea that I'm going to look for one thing, I got news for you, there'll be many things that come alive to you. There's much more to it that you'll find than just one thing. Have a list of things. Which of the following are not in the Bible? Cleanliness is next to godliness. God helps those who help themselves. Confession is good for the soul. Money is the root of all evil. Honesty is the best policy. The answer is none of those are in there. But I'll tell you what, you'll go and you'll talk to people that profess to know Christ as Savior, profess to be Christians, profess to be readers of the Word, and they'll tell you cleanliness is next to godliness is in the Bible. It's not in there. They'll tell you that money is the root of all evil. It's not what the Bible says. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. See, you got to be in the Bible to find out what people are saying, if it's true or not. If you're not in there, you don't know. But none of those are. There's some Christians that you could say, take your Bible and turn to the book of Hezekiah, and they start going to the index. Hezekiah, where's that at? It's not in there. It's not in there. But see, it's because they don't know. Because they haven't been in the Word. Some of them, you talk about the Virgin Mary, they don't have any idea what you're talking about. They have no idea. If I asked them who knocked down the walls of Jericho, they'd start coming up with alibis of how they couldn't be possibly responsible for it, right? I'm telling you, it's sad. We have people that profess to know Christ that don't know some of the most fundamental things of the Bible. It is said, when the famous missionary David Livingstone started his trek across Africa, he had 73 books in three packs weighing 180 pounds. As they started their trek and they'd gone 300 miles, Livingstone was obliged to start tossing away some of the books because of the fatigue on those that were carrying his baggage. As he continued on his journey, his library became smaller and smaller and smaller. And pretty soon, he had only one book left. It was the Bible. The Bible. See, it's nice to have other books. It's nice to be able to reference other books and stuff. But if you had to have one book only, it better be the Bible. I got news for you. This will tell you everything that you need to know. And all those other books are written by man from man's viewpoint. This one's written by God from His viewpoint. You're going to get a better viewpoint of God than you are of man. Never let good books take the place of the Bible. There was a guy one time said, visit good books, but spend your time in the Bible. Don't spend your time in good books and visit the Bible, but spend your time in the Bible and visit good books. The Bible is going to give you more of what you need. The Bible is profitable to change you, The Bible can change you. Story is told of a South Sea Islander who proudly displayed his Bible to a GI during World War II. He'd received it as a present from a missionary some time before. The soldier said to him, "Oh, we have outgrown that sort of thing." The native smiled back and said, "Well, it's a good thing we haven't, because if it was not for this book, you would be our evening meal." The Bible can change you. D.L. Moody said, "The scriptures were not given for our information, but for our transformation." Then the Bible is profitable to convict you. Convict you. Mark Twain, not exactly a diehard Christian, wrote these words, "Most people are bothered by those passages of Scripture they do not understand, but the passages that bother me most are those I do understand." There's a lot to be said for that. Then the Bible is profitable to correct you. Correct you. How to get it right. How to get it right. And the Bible is profitable to coach you how to keep it right. The late Supreme Court Justice Oliver Holmes was on a train when the conductor came through collecting tickets. Holmes could not find his ticket, and he got rather distraught about the whole thing. And the conductor tried to console him and said, Oh, Mr. Holmes, don't worry. When you find your ticket, just mail it to us. We trust you." Mr. Holmes responded in frustration, "My dear man, that is not my problem. I need my ticket to tell me where I'm going." This will tell you where you're going. You're going to need it. Trust me. Three key words to help you get the most out of your Bible. Number one is observation. What do I see? Broken that down in specs, S-P-E-C-S. Specs, what do I see? Without these, I don't see a whole lot, right? But specs. The Bible is like a telescope. If a man looks through a telescope, he can see worlds beyond, right? But if he looks at a telescope, that's all he sees. So the first S in specs, sin to confess. Sin to confess. The further one goes from the source, the more polluted the water. It's been said the Bible will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from the Bible. Then P, promise to claim. Do you know you cannot break God's promises by leaning on them? Can't happen. You need to lean on the promises of God. Example, the E. An example to follow. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds which were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him, for before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he commended the world, by the which he condemned the world, and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed and went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, who builder and maker is God. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even of one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims of the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. And on and on and on we see all of these different ones, these voices in the grandstands. What are they saying? What they're saying is to follow God. They've set us an example, and we need to follow that example. And then there's C, is command to obey. A journalist asked the remarkable Christian G.K. Chesterton what one book he'd want if he was stranded on a desert island. What one book would you want? And he took a second and paused, and he thought, and he came back, why, A Practical Guide to Shipbuilding, of course. Wouldn't you want to know, if you're stranded on an island, how to get off? So you're no longer stranded. Wouldn't you want to know how to get through this life? I'm going to tell you, your basic instructions before leaving Earth, right here. God's given us everything we need to know in His Word. The Bible. We have it. We don't have to go out searching. No. Drives me nuts when we go through what they call the Christian bookstore. I think it's a misnomer, but, and you have the self-help aisle. Christian bookstore self-help aisle. Does anybody get that? I mean, come on. It's crazy, isn't it? Ridiculous. What do you need a self-help aisle? You need to trust God and rely on God. Lean on His promises. And then you have S, stumbling block to avoid. For us to avoid, and for others that see us to avoid. So then, number two, we have interpretation. What does it mean? What does it mean? There's five keys to interpretation. First is content, the raw material. Second is context, what is before and after the passage or verse that you're looking at. Comparison, compare Scripture with Scripture. Scripture will not contradict Scripture. Did you get that? I said will not. Won't happen. Culture, consider the customs and the practices of the time when it was written. And then consultation. Second, resources. There's some commentaries out there that are good. Maybe an atlas, Bible atlas, so you can see where the areas that it's talking about. Some of the Bibles have maps in the back, right? I like when I'm reading about places, I go to the maps and I try to find them. Isn't it nice to know where it's at? I know one of us at least has been to some of these areas. Maybe all of them, I don't know. But it's nice to know where they are, right? That inquiring mind. Sometimes we got to know stuff. So we need to do that. Martin Luther said this, "I study my Bible like I gather apples. First I shake the whole tree that the ripest may fall. Then I shake each limb, and when I have shaken each limb, I shake each branch and every twig. Then I look under every leaf." When you're studying the Bible, are you digging deeper and deeper and deeper, or are you just kind of reading over, you know, some of those? You know, you go through Chronicles. Some people have been there, they're laughing about it. You go through Chronicles and it's like, how much of this do I really need? God put it in there for a reason. People go, yeah, but it's Old Testament. I don't care if it's Old Testament. God put it in there because he wanted us to know. What did I say? All Scripture? That doesn't exclude Chronicles because we don't like to read that, right? It doesn't exclude the stuff we don't like. It says all Scripture. So we need to take all Scripture. Then number three, application. How does it work? Again, the Bible is not just for our information, it's for our transformation. Let it change us. You get into the Bible, and there's some people that they're not going to change no matter what. But you take them, the Scriptures, and you go, this is what the Bible says. Now, first of all, don't take a 2x4 and beat them over the head and say, this is why you're dumb and you don't know what you're doing and you need to do this. Just take them the Bible and say, hey, this is what the Bible says. Right? And let the Bible speak for itself. But let it change us. Let it do what it's supposed to. And then let it get in us and be a part of our everyday life. So the process of application, it's really hard, it's difficult. The process of application is open it and read it. Take some time every day and open the Word of God and read it. And allow it to penetrate your heart. Allow it to get in you so that when you need it, it can come back out. You ever heard whatever goes in comes out? If you put garbage in, garbage is going to come out. If you put the Word of God in, the Word of God is going to come out. The Bible. Now, I was taught as a young kid, you don't mark up the book. I'm not talking about the Bible. I'm talking about we get books from the library. Don't put a pencil in there. Don't put a pen in there. Don't put anything in there that's going to mar those pages, alter them in any way, shape, or form. I'm going to tell you your Bible, get in there, underline, circle, write notes in the margins and all. It's good for you to be in here, and it's not bad to mark up your book. The good book, the Bible. Not bad to do that. And I'll tell you what, the more you use it, the more valuable it's going to become to you. I sometimes wonder how people feel about the Word of God when they take their Bible and throw it around here and there and everywhere. It's the Word of God. We should treat it as such. Treat it with some respect. It's the Word of God. Now, over time, you might have to get a new one because you use it enough, they start wearing out. I know some people who like their Bible so much, they send it off and have it rebound. And you can do that too. But the more you get into it, the more it's going to be used. And the more it's going to get into you. It's a common temptation of Satan to make us give up reading the Word of God and prayer if our enjoyment of it is gone. You no longer enjoy it, it's easy to give it up, right? As if the Scriptures are no use to us unless we enjoy them, right? I'm going to tell you, there's some Scriptures in the Bible that some people don't enjoy too much because they speak directly to their sin. And they don't want to give up their sin. So they don't like those sections. Those sections are not enjoyable to them. But it doesn't mean that we don't need them. And there are some people that would say it's no use to pray when we have no spirit of prayer. I'll tell you the truth in that is that we need to be praying. Even if you don't feel like it, you need to be praying. We need to be reading the Word of God even when we don't feel like it. You know how you obtain the spirit of prayer? Pray. The more you pray, the more you're going to want to. But I'll tell you quit praying and pretty soon it becomes easy not to. You quit reading your Bible and it becomes easier not to. I mean, anything you do, you quit doing it, it becomes easier and easier and easier. The less you read the Word of God, the less you desire to read it. The less you pray, the less desire you have to pray. Just the way it works. Number one, you need to know the interpretation of the text. Get in there. Check out the interpretation. And don't take the Word of God and make it say what you want it to say. It's a pet peeve of mine. Twist it around to make it say what you want it to say. Interpret. There's one interpretation of the Scriptures. There's several applications. But there's one interpretation. So get into it and find out what's the interpretation. And then relate. What is being said? What's being said what you're reading there? Meditate. How do I apply it? Then practice. James 1:22, but be doers of the word, right? Be doers and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be doers of the word. If we let it get in, remember what I said? What goes in comes out. If it goes in, you'll become doers of the word. There's some people that they let it come in about this far and then it goes up and over and back down the other side and out, right? There's some that maybe it goes through and might take a hiccup along the way and then right on out the other side. But we need to have it penetrate our hearts and stay in so that it can come out. Be doers of the word. Don't expect God to reveal new truths to you until you already obey the ones that He's already revealed to you. People say, well, God repeats Himself over and over and over, and He's going to continue till we get it, right? He's not going to change His way of doing things because He knows He's got some thick skulls to get through. He's got to penetrate here so He can get to here, right? We have some interesting ideas about God and His Word. But let's get in the Word. Let's study the Word. Let's meditate upon the Word. Let the Word get in us. And then when it's in us, it's going to come out of us. It's amazing the difference. The difference, the change. Can you imagine the great change that Highlander said, if it wasn't for us getting the Word of God, you'd be the evening meal. That was a huge change. Seen a change in your life since you came to know the Lord? There should be. Should be a change. We shouldn't be the same as we were. The Bible says, old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. We should be different. If you're a child of God, you should want to spend time in His Word. And you should want His Word to get into you. Shouldn't be a struggle. Should be a desire. And the more you do it, the more you're going to desire to do it. The less you do it, the less desire you'll have to do it. Just like anything, they say, I don't know who they are, but they say that if you do something for 21 days straight, it becomes habit. 21 days, that's 3 weeks. You do the same thing 21 days in a row, it's now become habit, and you'll keep doing it. I don't know, maybe you could try it if you're not. Read the Bible 21 days straight. And as I've said many times, read it till you get something out of it. And for some out there, not necessarily saying here, but some out there, they might have to go through the whole thing and still not get anything through it and go through it again. If that's what it takes, read it till you get something. Read it till God speaks to you. But start with, as I've said over and over and over, praying for the Holy Spirit to reveal to you the truth of His Word. And then get into the Word. I'll tell you what. If you're serious, He'll reveal them to you. It's amazing. But spend time with God in His Word daily. And you'll get more out of it. And then, as I mentioned, when it convicts you of sin, confess that sin. Repent and confess. And then don't go back to it. Change. Change. Let God's Word change you. Don't be one of those that, I'm not changing, I've got my idea and it's not going to happen. If the Word of God and your ideas don't line up, it's not because God's wrong. I know that might hurt, might step on some toes, but God's not the one that's wrong. If your life does not line up with His Word, it's not because He's wrong. And He's not the one that needs to change. We need to get in line with what His Word says. That's what He gave it to us for. So we can be conformed to the image of His dear Son, right? It's what He wants for us. So spend some time in the Word of God. Not one of those that says read 3 chapters a day and Psalms and Proverbs and move on to the next day. That becomes a routine thing that's just habit, routine habit thing that doesn't, you're not doing it because you're getting something out of it. You're doing it because you think you have to. Like Dr. Art Wilson wrote a book, Duty or Preference? Do you do it because it's a sense of duty, or do you do it because you prefer to do it? If you do it because you prefer to do it, you'll keep doing it. If you do it because you think it's your duty, it'll become a burden, and you'll stop. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for your love and mercy and grace towards us. We want to thank you for your word. We want to thank you that we have it, and thank you that we live in a nation where we can have multiple copies readily available. I pray, Father, that each one of us would be daily in your word, that not only would we be reading it, but we'd be studying it, meditating upon it, and seeking the truths of it that we could apply to our lives and not just be hearers of the word, but be. Father, I pray that your word would penetrate our hearts. And when we need it, we would have it, that it could come back out. Father, if there's someone in our midst this morning that doesn't have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I pray that today would be that day. For those of us who do, Father, I pray that our desire would be to be more like him. And to get there, we need to spend more time in your word and more time in prayer. So I pray that that would be our desire. And we thank you for what you're going to do during this time of invitation. We'll not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You'll stand.